The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Monday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 2pm with Mick Norton, James Millman and Andy Holding in the studio. It's Brighton, Newton Abbott and Perth on Monday afternoon. There's also evening racing from Ireland in Galway. So four meetings to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio to look ahead to the action is Gordon Brown. How are you, Bruni?
I'm very well. It's not the happy Mondays, it's the happy Sundays.
Yes.
When this podcast's been done, of course.
Of course. It will be released and staying out on Monday as well, so it can be a happy Monday as well, Bruni.
Yeah, more. The longer it's on, the better value for money you get.
Yeah.
Repeat fees, please.
I'll let you take that with the bosses. Let's start by having a quick look back at Saturday's action before we move on to Monday, and we must start with the big race of the day, the Group 1 Sprint Cup at Haydock, and that went the way of G-Force, who's a first Group 1 winner in Britain for David O'Meara, and a trainer very much on the up and continuing so.
Yep, and for jockey Danny Tuttle. Yeah. It was great. I interviewed them both after the race. I was there yesterday. Brilliant ride by Danny Tuttle. Got the horse in front right when it mattered, close home. Soul Power back in fourth place, but G-Force, who only cost $25,000, a cast-off from the Qatar Racing guys, who have had a miserable year and they've missed out on a Group 1. It slipped through the fingers. G-Force now goes for the Abbey, which is, of course, just over five furlongs. Sixth furlong winner of the big Sprint Cup yesterday. Had a great success, very popular win, an 11-1 winner. Unlucky in the Nunthorpe. I don't know if it would have won, but it would certainly have finished a bit closer. Of course, Soul Power gave him a great ride by Husey in the Nunthorpe, but it didn't happen for him yesterday. It was a great success. David O'Meara, fulsome of his praise of Danny Tuttle, the jockey, and very much a team effort as well. And well done as well to the Midland Park guys. They've had hundreds and hundreds of winners down through the years. Started off, I think, in the old weather, winning lowly races there, and now they are top of the tree winning Group 1s.
Yeah, well done to all concerned with G-Force. Gordon Lord Byron finished second. It's the second time he's finished runner-up. Won the race last year as well, of course, so he ran his race. Nothing lost in defeat there for him. Music Master in third, and Soul Power back in fourth. Still hasn't won at six furlongs, and I understand they'll probably meet G-Force again in the Abbey. That's a plan with Soul Power.
It was the one sort of negative start there yesterday. I did a preview before the race at Haydock Park, and still hasn't won at six. It's a five furlong sprinter, pure and simple.
Yep.
I would expect him to be back. He ran up to his form yesterday, but he just the trip, he wasn't gaining for me at the end. He didn't have the best of passages through, but I don't think even with a clear passage, it's not his trip. That's it, pure and simple for me. We'll see a different horse turn up, no doubt, on Ark Day for the Abbey, and we'll live long in the memory of that great ride by Husey to get him through the eye of many needles at York to win the Nunthorpe. But well, not disgraced yesterday, but not his trip. He's a five furlong horse, pure and simple.
Yep, simple as that. He's turn a foot of a five is breathtaking.
That's
whereas
it.
Six is a completely different race, isn't
it? Yeah, so. Even if there was a 4.5 furlong race, that would be his trip, if you know what I mean. But yeah. Six, no.
Okay, away from that then, away from Saturday's action, unless there's anything else that caught your eye, Bruni.
No, that was the highlight by a long way yesterday. One little, my colleague James Willoughby from Racing UK, and who would I be to disagree with him? There was a horse yesterday he thought had put in an amazing performance at Haydock Park, and the horse's name, Celestial Path. Missed the break, came under pressure, and then shot through to lead and win comfortably in the listed race for 2 years. Won by four lengths in the end. So Matt Prescott trained Luke Morris on board. Still a big baby, Luke told me after the race. I interviewed him. And apparently the boys, the experts in form, thought that was an amazing performance. Possible outsider for the Guineas next year. But to keep an eye on the name, Celestial Path.
Okay, good stuff. A bit of news to talk about before we move on to Monday's action then. William Buick, he's going to take his ride in the St. Ledger and then fly to Ireland to keep the partnership intact on Western Him in the Irish Champion Stakes. So a busy weekend coming up for William Buick.
Yeah, taken to the skies after riding in a final classic, the world's oldest classic, the St. Ledger, on Saturday. Western Him in that Group 1 Irish Champion Stakes. Time-wise, well, he rides in the Ledger at 3.50, then a helicopter, which won't be cheap, and the Leopardstown Race 650. I have no idea how far that is by air. I've never done it, but he did do it a couple of years ago. He went to Leopardstown about this time as well. He went to Leopardstown to ride Nathaniel after riding in the Sprint Cup at Haydock, which would have been the corresponding Saturday from yesterday.
Yep.
So it can be done, and fingers crossed that there's no fog about and the helicopter's grounded.
Yeah, hopefully
and
not.
And so will William be.
Yes, so that's interesting to look forward to next weekend. Also at Doncaster, we may see Mutual Regard, who won the Ebor not too long ago. Johnny Murta's considering running him in the Doncaster Cup to help him get into the Melbourne Cup, Bruni. Do you see him having a chance in the Melbourne Cup? Should he get there?
He's actually showed a lot of improvement since moving to Johnny Murta this season. He's won two of his three races as well. The Doncaster Cup. Yeah, I think it's to be discussed and finalised. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if it's exactly in stone that it's going to happen, but apparently if he could finish in the first three in a group two, it would help his chance he'd get definitely into the Melbourne Cup. So it sounds as if, you know, he's going to discuss things with the owner, Andrew Tinkler. But the horse is in great form. We know it won the Ebor. I think he would need to run and run well to get it into the Melbourne Cup, to get into the race. I mean, that's a race. I think I read somewhere that, you know, we're trying desperately to win it again. I know the Irish have won it once before, but trainers like Luca Kamani and the Godolphin boys would love to win it. It is rightly named as the race that stops a nation. The first Tuesday in November, the feature of the carnival down under. And I think it was Luca Kamani that said, it's an amazing race when you're over there. The whole country buys into it for the week leading up to the race. Then it does stop the nation on the day. And he says, whereas in this country, Royal Ascot could be on and only a fraction of people in London know it's happening. So, yeah. I mean, you know, it's a completely different, you know, marketing campaign, and Mutual Regard could well be enhancing his chances of getting in the race if he runs well in that Group 2 Doncaster Cup, although that's yet to be finalised.
Okay, that's the news then. Let's move on. Let's get stuck into Monday's action. We have three meetings on Monday afternoon, Newton Abbott, Perth and Brighton, and we'll get Gordon's thoughts, a selection at each of the venues next.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, Gordon, starting in the 2.40 at Newton Abbott, we'll go through these in chronological order. And the first one is a Class 3 handicap chase for four-year-olds and older, over 3.25 miles. And we've got some relatively informed horses here, none more so probably than All the King's Horses, who arrived here in winning form, Gordon.
Yeah, winning form after that recent success, or most recent success, in a novice chase at Wincanton. That most recent success, though, was back in the spring and didn't jump very well and only scrambled home in the end to beat Coward's Hope close by a short head. So I think the fact that they've given it a break and it comes back here nice and fresh, I think it's going to be my selection. Richard Johnston and Philip Hobbs, 118 days off. Wiesentrom has more recent form for Lucy Wadham, and Wiesentrom has got a decent fourth the other day under Leighton Aspel at Southwell. Had the cheek pieces on in that occasion. Slightly different trip. That was 2.5 miles. It's stepping up a fair bit to 3 miles too, but it's got a big weight on. All the King's Horses, they've given it a break for to freshen them up over the summer. No doubt an autumn campaign planned, and I can see All the King's Horses beating Wiesentrom. All the King's Horses, the trip would suit that better me than the top weight under 11 stone 12. That's a big weight at this time of year in a moderate race, I have to say.
Yeah. So All King's Horses, the selection there then in the 2.40.
Yep, 4 to beat 1.
Yep. The 350 at Perth is where we'll go next, up to Perth, and this is a Class 4 handicap chase over 2 miles, and Robin's Command arrives here in pretty good form. Bruni, 2 course and distance wins to his name in the last 2 outings, won 3 of his last 4 as well, or 4 of his last 5 if you want to go that far back. So is he the one to start with here?
Yeah, he's actually won 4 of his last 6. I was speaking to Rose Dobbin, the trainer, on the phone. She's not going to be at Perth, but she's going to be represented by her husband Tony. He's had a little break since his last win over course and distance, as you say, 2 from 2 over course and distance back at the end of July. He's only gone up £3 for that success. He's not straightforward, but he is a lovely big horse. He's taken time to develop. The penny has dropped, and he's been a revelation since going over fences. And £3 is not insurmountable. Probably run for a wee while this autumn and then have a break during the winter. Clondalkin Knight would probably one of the main dangers. That's not been seen out since Kelso. Costs a lot of money, this horse. Carries the same colours as the ill-fitted Brindisi Breeze, a Cheltenham winner. Peter Buchanan, nice to see him back in action at his local track. He was out for months with a hand injury. He came back at Bangor not that long ago, and this is his first ride back at his local track. Clondalkin Knight cost a lot of money. He's been a little bit of an underachiever, but similar to Robin's Command, I think chasing's the making of him, and he's shown better form since coming over fences. Sergeant Pink's been a great horse for Diane Sayre, both on the flat and over jumps. A daughter rides him on the flat, Emma, but she's not allowed to ride over fences now, so unless he runs over hurdles, he's not going to get the ride. So I'd see him running quite well. Toledo Gold for Badger McAllister, and Morris Barnes been in good form in the pace angle in this race. Made all to win at Sedgefield just a couple of weeks ago. And again, a horse in good form, won 2 of his last 3. Good little race this, 10 grand race, good prize money. Robin's Command, Rose was just saying that the winning run's going to come to an end sooner or later. She hopes it's not on Monday, and I've got to go with Robin's Command. A horse at the peak of his form and might have more improvement to come.
Okay, Robin's Command then, the selection in the 350 at Perth, and onto the flat we go for the 4 o'clock at Brighton. This is a Class 5 handicap over the extended mile and 1 furlong, nearly a mile and a quarter. It's for 3-year-olds and older, and we've got 8 of them in the lineup here, Gordy, and we'll start here with Hesbarn, who's likely to be fairly popular in the market. It put a few near misses behind him when winning at Pontefract last time.
Yeah, won at Pontefract last time over a mile. Never been at this trip before. That was a maiden, and it was about time he was losing his maiden tag, because that was his first win in 8 starts. Marcus Trigoni's horse has been in reasonable form. The Hamdan horse, of course, now ridden by Paul Hannigan. He's ridden him a few times, including to victory at Ponte. I take what you mean as well about the trip. I mean, it can be misleading. Sometimes you see the caption 1 mile 1. It's actually 1 mile and a quarter. It's only a few yards short of 1 mile and a quarter, folks. So just watch when you're looking at captions, either in papers or in any sort of media outlets. It's 1 mile and a quarter. There's none of this 1 mile 1 and plus. It's 1 mile and a quarter. And I think Hesbarn could well see a bit of improvement for stepping back up in, not back up in trip, but actually up to this trip for the first time. I think is his first handicap. Indeed it is. So first handicap off a mark of 75. At the mid-70s is a reasonable guide point for a lot of these horses coming into handicap company for the first time. It's only Class 5. Lawkeeper would probably be the main danger. And James Tate trained Lawkeeper, lightly raced, a horse that won. I saw it win a maiden at Carlisle. Made all the running that day for Graham Lee. Has since finished off a similar mark in third in a Leicester handicap over a trip further than this. So Lawkeeper's coming back in distance. Interesting to see what the tactics are here, because it's a keenish sort. Graham Lee let him bowl along in front. It's also interesting that both his first runs in maiden company came at Carlisle. So I think they maybe think that an undulating course suits him, because Leicester's up and down as well, and so too Brighton, first visit to Brighton. So we've got Hesbarn, the winner of the Ponte maiden over a mile in a handicap for the first time, up in trip to 1 mile and a quarter. We've got Lawkeeper, who won over just over a mile at Carlisle in a maiden and stepped up to 1.5 miles at Leicester in its first handicap. That's coming back in trip. It is a two-horse race, I reckon, between the two. Deanna Dora for Sir Michael Stout wouldn't be one of his one of the best horses in the stable, and I thought didn't do a lot in a filly's handicap at Ripon last time when finishing in sixth place. So I look upon it as a match between Hesban and Lawkeeper. I don't think there'll be much between the two. They're both off the exact same mark of 75, so both carrying 9.5. Hughesy against Hannigan, that would be the interesting angle from the track. Possibly just Hesban showing a bit more improvement for the step up to a mile and a quarter to beat Lawkeeper.
Okay, Hesban then narrowly shading it against Lawkeeper in the 4 o'clock. Let's just have a quick summary then, Bruni, if you'll spin us through your selections one more time.
Yeah, 240 Newton Abbott. I'm going to go for four Older King's horses after the break, after winning back in the spring to come out and win again. Then that good race up at Perth. I think Robin's Command is in great form. He's been kept nice and fresh. He loves the track. Number four, Robin's Command in the 350. And it looks like a match for me at Brighton in the mile and a quarter handicap at 4 o'clock. Hesban to beat Lawkeeper. Could be the other way round, but I've been wrong before and I'll be wrong again.
Good stuff. Thank you very much, Gordy. Good luck and enjoy it on Monday.
Cheers, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Gordon Brown on Monday's racing. A selection at each of the meetings, Brighton, Newton Abbott and Perth. And we'll be live from 2 p.m. with Mick Norton, James Millman and Andy Holding in the studio on Racing Radio. There's also Galway in the evening, so plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Monday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.